Go!
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Big Dave Watson at Bowl, B-A-W-L Sports. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. And of course, that text and voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Well, we got some stuff we're going to talk about today. Congratulations are in order for the Bulls' rook, Patrick Williams, who was selected for the Team USA Select team. We'll talk about that a little bit. We got to talk about a hypothetical three-way trade that involves the Bulls, Nets, and Thunder that was in a Bobby Marks column for ESPN earlier this week. That has the Bulls acquiring one Spencer Dinwiddie, and we'll wrap up the show with a little bit more talk about one Scottie Pippen, because I can't stay away. First of all, Big Dave, how are you? I already this morning, as soon as I saw it drop, listened to your Bowl on Bulls episode with Mark Schanowski, our dear friend. Loved it. Far surpassed my already very high expectations. Real quick, what was it like to chat with our old pal Mark again, man?
Oh, man. First of all, hi. It was a dream come true, to be completely honest with you. I've been wanting Mark to be on the show for like a year now, ever since I knew his name. I was like, dude, I wonder if I can get Mark Schanowski on. Nah, that's Mark Schanowski. He don't want to come on this little silly podcast. Why would he want to come do that? You know what I mean? But I asked him, I just said, you know, Simon, he obviously, you know, he was very kind. He was like, absolutely, I'll come on and see it and hang out with you. Just the fact that he was, you know, kind of, you know, let his hair down, you know, put his feet up, which is why, what I like people to do when they come on the podcast, just hang out. He definitely had that vibe going. It kind of threw me when he said stuff that was really nice about me. I wasn't ready for that at all. Cause I'm like, you know who you are, like, like, wow, that blew my mind. I'm not even gonna lie, man, it blew my mind, and it really threw me off. But it was just fun, man. It was just fun to talk to him and hear him talk about, you know, how he came up and, you know, how he even was reading, I even didn't know hockey, and he was just figuring hockey out on the fly, and it sounded like he knew exactly what hockey was, like. I've never seen him rattled. I've never seen him thrown off. I've never seen a hair out of place. It's always just done right. And to just get kind of behind the scenes on that was really, really cool. So it was amazing.
Yeah, highly recommend, if you guys haven't listened to it yet, go listen to that Bowl on Bulls episode with Mark Schanowski that just dropped earlier today. And it was just awesome to hear you guys just shooting the shit back and forth, man, and talking about Mark's early career, talking about our days hanging out in the green room at NBC, and the fact that Mark actually enjoyed our company. Like you said, that's the thing that always gets me. I'm like, really? Like, are you just being nice?
Yeah, I had to ask that for you, man. I had you in mind when I asked that question. I'm like, you know, man, always feels like, you know, we're bothering you. So, you know, I just want to know, are we bothering you? Like, just want to make sure if that's the case or not. He's like, no, I'm doing my job. I hang out with you in the first half, then second half, I'm going to prepare for a show. Like, that's really what I do. But I love hanging out with y'all. It's like, come on, Mark, don't say things like this. Like, we can't take stuff like this from you. So, yeah, it was amazing, though.
Great conversation. Go give it a listen. And, of course, subscribe to Bowl on Bulls if you aren't already. All right, Big Dave, first thing on the agenda. Earlier today, Shams Charania, among others, made an official announcement that our very own Patrick Williams was selected on the 17-person squad for the Team USA Select team, the team comprised of younger players that kind of serve as the warm-up scrimmage against us team for the actual 12-man USA Olympic team before they go to Tokyo. for some warm-up competition. So I'll just run down the roster real quick for you. Sure. Some notable rookies from this past rookie class. Anthony Edwards, Sadiq Bey, Miles Bridges, Darius Garland, Tyrese Halliburton, Tyler Hero, John Jenkins, Keldon Johnson, Josh Magette, Dakota Mathias, Emmanuel Quickly, Naz Reid, Cam Reynolds, Isaiah Stewart, Obi Toppin, PJ Washington, and Patrick Williams. So along with Williams, you have some other notable rooks from his class, Quickly, Halliburton, Sadiq Bey, Anthony Edwards, some really awesome young talent on that squad. First and foremost, just, you know, congrats to Patrick Williams. I think maybe some people were underwhelmed by his finish to the rookie campaign. I know some Bulls fans were really starting to complain about him a lot down the stretch when he was having modest stat line games and not getting up a lot of shots. I was doing my best to kind of, you know, counter those people and telling them to be patient. He's, you know, he's a 19-year-old rookie. He had stretches of the season where he looked really good. And my hope is that this is a sign that clearly he is being recognized as an up-and-comer in the NBA along this list of other, you know, young players, and that he will use this opportunity to get better.
Yeah. I mean, they're not sending trash there, Matt. You know what I mean? So obviously they feel some kind of way about him and his skill and his skill set and skill level. And I keep saying this about Patrick Williams. The main complaint I keep hearing about Patrick is we want to see more of him. And I'm like, that's not a complaint. that's sorry, guys. It's not. We want to see him shoot more. That's not a complaint. You know what I mean? You know he has it. You just want to see more of it. Like Matt said, he's a 19-year-old rookie. All of them don't come in off the bench, you know, like Anthony Edwards does or like LaMelo does. Like, everybody's not like that. Some guys, it takes time. Sometimes it takes time to grow. I will say I'm not going to wait, you know, 4 years like I did with Lowry. I'm not going to do that again.
Right.
But I have seen enough in this first year to let me know I expect it to go up a little bit more in this second year. But with all that said, again, the same argument I said with Zach, Matt. I feel like this with Pat. You got somebody that's at the table. You got somebody that's there and is going to be representing not just this country, but also your team. So just the fact that Patrick Williams and Zach LaVine are going to be there, you know, together, you can now have two guys at the table that you can just at least have conversations with other players and things like that. So I'm excited for him to grow and get better because this is a great way for him to grow and get better. And I'm just excited for the franchise that they have two guys there.
What do you see for P-Dub in year two? And I mean, obviously, it's kind of a tough question to answer right now because there are still some unknowns as far as the other pieces of this roster around him, based on what AK and Eversley do with potential trades and free agency. We know that there's probably going to be at least a significant portion of turnover on this roster. Certain guys whose contracts are expiring, you know, any of the trio of Thad, Sato, partial guarantees, and Ryan Arch with a team option could be on the way out. Tice could be on the way out. Lowry could be on the way out. Denzel's definitely on the way out. Praise Jeebus. So as far as P-Dub's role and hope and Bulls fans hoping that he takes a bigger role on in year two, obviously Zach and Vucci are two main guys. We anticipate, unless something wild happens, that Coby White will also be around. But with Coby and the offseason shoulder injury and him not being back 4 to 6 month timeline, that could be an opportunity for the Bulls to say, depending on what other pieces are here, Patrick Williams, you are a number three option on offense every night, which certainly wasn't the case his rookie year.
No, I mean, he's just that's exactly the point I was going to make, Matt, right there, what you said about Coby. Excellent point. Because now you have to – now it's moved up. So I know they wanted to see the growth, and I think it's going to be growth in his second year form. But now you don't have a choice. You have to showcase it. You've got to let people know what you can do on this floor because now we're extra dependent on you. Now you're not the fourth option or the fifth option anymore. Now, like Matt said, you're going to be the third option, man, depending on what they do in this free agency, you know, things like that. But as of right now, it's Zach, it's Vooch, and it's you, you know, for your offense. That's it. That's what we're looking at. So I expect him to come in and take that role on, you know what I'm saying, and thrive in it. I really do expect him to be good, man. And I know y'all know me for being Captain Positive. I get that. I promise you. But it's logic behind what I'm saying. I'm not just speaking, you know, rainbows and marshmallows to you. Like, I know what I saw out there on the court when this dude is playing basketball. We know he's got the skill set to be a number three, to be that third option on your team, to be a guy you can give the ball to and be comfortable with because you're like, okay, he can give me an easy 15, 20 points. You know he's going to play defense on the other end, and you know he's not a dumb basketball player. His IQ was awesome when we would sit there watching him on the court. We were like, okay, wow, he knows where to be. Wow, he understands what to do on both sides. So I'm excited. And again, like I said before on this show, Billy Donovan's not going to waste his time with anybody that he thinks is trash. Like, you know, it was certain players. You didn't see him sitting at the game with Denzel Valentine is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? You didn't see him out there with those guys. You know what they kind of feel about Patrick Williams and what they see from him and what they want from him. It's just about him believing it. And I think that belief is going to come in season two. Season two, like it's a TV show of the Patrick Williams show. But yeah, I know it's coming, man.
Season two takes place on the docks in Chicago.
Where we last left off, our hero. You know, like, so yeah, I expect him to grow, man. And I expect his offensive game to be better. I think defensively, he's already excellent. I don't know how I'm going to see in that because I always thought, well, excellent may be strong, but he's good. But I expect his offense just to go up more just because I expect his confidence to grow because they're dependent on him. And he always says, I'm going to do whatever the team needs. Well, bro, they're going to need you to be that dude.
Right. Absolutely. All right. So, again, congrats to B-Dub. Hopefully he has a good time. Hopefully he uses it as a learning experience and a growing experience. And like you said, the fact that he's going to be able to be scrimmaging against Zach LaVine, his teammate, because Zach's on the big boy USA squad and P-Dub's on the up-and-comers USA squad. I mean, that's nothing but positives for Bulls fans to look at. All right, we've got to talk about a potential Bulls three-way trade that hit the NBA Twitter sphere earlier this week. First, though, I want to tell you all that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way of your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. My Cubs suck, but you can track all of the action in their games and bet on them at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, even UFC and MMA fights. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game, as we have maybe one or two precious few conference finals games left in the NBA. Dave, if you were putting money on the game tonight, game five, Bucks, Hawks, who are you putting money on?
Giannis out, I'm going with the Hawks.
I probably put my money in the same department.
Yeah.
Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code Locked On. So go to Bet Online, set up an account, put $100 in. They'll give you 50 extra bucks to play with. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Again, that's promo code Locked On at sign up. All right, Big Dave. So we got a ESPN trade machine column earlier this week from Bobby Marks and a few other ESPN NBA heads. And the Bulls were featured in one of these hypothetical trades that ESPN NBA wants to see this offseason. So I know you talked about this with our pal Mark Schanowski on your podcast earlier this week. And we've talked about it a little bit recently, but this is a Bulls getting Spencer Dinwiddie back to Chicago deal. I'll give you the quick rundown for anybody out there who doesn't have ESPN Plus and didn't get this column. So here are the three teams, Bulls, Nets, and Thunder. The Bulls receive Spencer Dinwiddie in a sign-and-trade deal. The Brooklyn Nets receive Thaddeus Johnson, a.k.a. Thaddeus Young, and a 2026 second-rounder from OKC. That is protected 31-55. And the Thunder received DeAndre Jordan from Brooklyn and Brooklyn's number 27 pick, first round pick in this 2021 draft. Here are a couple of notes from Bobby Marks. Nets enter the offseason with limited options on how to improve the roster beyond their own free agents. Signing and trading Dinwiddie with a starting salary of $18 million would help balance their roster. With Harden there, he's more of an insurance policy and an expensive one at that. If Brooklyn signed Dinwiddie outright, its luxury tax bill increases from $40 million to $114 million. And the high cost is before factoring in restricted free agent Bruce Brown and using the $5.9 million tax mid-level exception. The addition of Thad Young gives Brooklyn much needed front court depth, given that Jeff Green and Blake Griffin are both unrestricted free agents. Moving off of the DeAndre Jordan contract of 2 years and $20 million would offset the money owed to Thad Young, and the Nets would create a $9.9 million trade exception. From Chicago's perspective, point guard obviously a position of need. Because the Bulls don't have much cap space, they would need to orchestrate a sign-and-trade in order to get Dinwiddie. The addition of Brooklyn's selection now has the Thunder with four first-round picks in this July 29th, 2021 NBA draft. The Thunder acquired Jordan with $10.1 million trade exception created in the trade of Danilo Gallinari to Atlanta last year. So that's the rundown of this trade. I've seen some – so I posted the screenshots of this early, like a couple days ago when this came out, and said, this trade makes a fair amount of sense to me for all three teams. And some people in my you know, replies said, yes, I agree. And then some people said, you're crazy. This is ridiculous. So just – right, you know, face value, surface level, hearing that idea of a three-way trade, Big Dave. First, from the Bulls' perspective, do you like this deal for the Bulls?
From the Bulls' perspective, I absolutely like this deal, yes. Because absolutely, you address the key need. The most important position in basketball is the point guard position. And you have to have one. Like, there's no way around it. You have to have one, and you have to have a good one. And Spencer Dinwiddie is a good one. Like, what else does he have to show you that he is good at playing point guard and playing basketball in the NBA? I don't know what else he has to show you. His only downfall was an injury. That's it. He didn't do anything else to lose his job other than, oh, you know, let me bring in world champion Kyrie Irving, you know, and play your position. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to sit you for that guy. That makes sense. You know what? Should I play the two? Nah, you know what? I think I'm going to bring in MVP James Harden to play the two. I think I'm going to take that over you too. Yeah, okay. You know, that makes logical sense. So, just like I was talking about with Devontae Graham, you brought in two guys who were just way better. You would just take these guys over Spencer. That's the only reason. There's no other reason at all. Because this dude can play. You saw how he scored. You saw how he facilitated. And you saw what he meant to that team. He came in and you know Bulls fans, Matt, they love a grinder. And they love a guy from the bottom of the barrel rising up to glory. They love that story. And Spencer Dinwiddie is definitely that kind of story. So for him to come back and have a nice redemption tour with this team, plus knowing the need that they have and knowing that he can score the basketball and he doesn't need the basketball, but he can definitely score the basketball and create his own shot. Yeah, you take the point guard. You absolutely take him. But I'm sorry, I'm laughing because the whole time I'm saying this, John Sabine is playing in my head.
But you can't trade Magic Johnson, Dave.
All in my head, dude. That's all in my head. It's like, oh, no, he's untradeable. He's untradeable. You're stupid. Don't you trade him. You're dumb if you want to trade him. That's all I hear John say by head right now.
Untradeable. Chad Young, equal sign, untradeable.
Oh, man, dude. Like, you got to let him go. Like, if you're going to get a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie in return, I have no problem trading Thad for that.
I'm with you, man. And it seems like Shadowski agreed that Dinwiddie could be a solid option there. You know, he gives you size. He gives you a lot of things in the backcourt. And it's just a matter of, you know, is he fully recovered? And that's obviously the one big concern with Dinwiddie. And I know that's why a lot of Bulls fans are saying stay away. Like, why are we going to pay a bunch of money to a guy who's coming off an injury like that? I get that. I just look at him as, if healthy, Dinwiddie is, I think, one of the better options in the slim pickings in the yard of point guards that the Bulls can go get this summer. There aren't a lot of just great options. Like, point guards aren't growing on trees this summer. They're just not. And what he can give this team, I think, is a better package than a lot of other names that are being thrown out there. Like, I was talking the other day about the ridiculous Dennis Schroeder, you know, like, oh, I would like $100 to $120 million, please. And you're like, are you kidding? You're not worth that. You're not nearly worth that. Lonzo, I know a lot of Bulls fans are in love with the Lonzo idea. He might get overpaid this summer. There's a good chance he gets overpaid this summer. And if you look back at what he did, his stat line from this past season, pretty much identical to Kobe White's. Like, they're not actually that different. So if you're getting Lonzo, are you saying it's really much more of an upgrade from Kobe White? The other thing that some people in the replies when I posted this tweet were saying is, why does Brooklyn do this deal? Like, like Thad Young, yes, he's a good veteran role player. He's a well-liked teammate, you know, a leader for the locker room, and gives you front court safety and insurance in case, Blake Griffin departs or, their other free agent in the front court. So, like, Thad is a useful piece that Brooklyn could absolutely use. Sure. But just as enticing as Thad Young, I think people are under-evaluating how much Brooklyn would like to save themselves a bit of money. And, like, I don't know if you caught it the first time, but keeping Dinwiddie versus signing and trading him away could be saving them, like, roughly $75 million in luxury tax. Do you think that's just a bit of an incentive to do this deal? Because I do.
A little bit.
And it's not like, because people say, but yeah, to give up a first round pick just to save some money, it's the 27th pick. Because if you recall, Brooklyn was really good this season that just ended. So their pick is in the back end of the 20s.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it's a first round pick, but making those maneuvers to, you know, like, get a little bit of financial relief to add a quality veteran to your front court depth rotation, and all you're really giving up is a guy that you would be, you know, like, overpaying to be a backup in Dinwiddie at this point because of the other roster rotations you made while he was injured and rehabbing, and a late first. Like, I all the people saying, why would Brooklyn do this deal? I'm sitting here saying, well, the X, Y, and Z. Like, here are the reasons they do this deal. I think it makes sense for Brooklyn too, don't you?
Yeah, it makes 100% sense for Brooklyn. And also, on a basketball level, Matt, like, the thing that hurt them hard this year was injuries. And so to have a guy like Thad Young that can actually be there for not just Blake Griffin, but also your center position, but also your small forward position. Like, he can play all three of those positions. He can. He can play the 3, the 4, and the 5. We saw him do it for us, you know what I'm saying, in D.C.
Right.
So, and just the fact that being a great teammate, like, giving a team that locker room stability, and especially a team that's ready to win, giving them that kind of locker room stability and a guy you can depend on, and having basically another coach on the floor for those, you know, younger guys that might be on Brooklyn, you know, just having that, you know, and that good rapport and that good vibe going through your locker room and through your offices there in Brooklyn is a great feeling. And that's a great thing to have. Plus, Thad is getting long in the tooth. So now when you start getting long in the tooth, you guys start wanting to win. It's about that time that, yo, I want to make a run at a championship. I think it's about that time. I don't know how much time I have left in this league. How about I make a run at a championship? This is a perfect opportunity to do that because everybody had Brooklyn going to the finals if they were healthy. And I think next year people might still feel the same exact way if they're healthy because I don't see what changes, you know. But, yeah, so I think this would be a great opportunity for Thad and just a great opportunity for Brooklyn, man, to get a guy just who we value like we do Thad because we do value Thad. We know what he does and what he can do for this team. You don't get cool nicknames like Thaddeus Johnson if you're trash. You know, you get good nicknames when you're good. So that's the rule.
Right. And then from the Thunder's perspective, like, yeah, you're taking on DeAndre Jordan's aging corpse, you know, for 10 mil. But as the column mentioned, they do have the trade exception from the Gallinari trade from last year. So that doesn't necessarily cripple them too badly. And you're getting, yes, it's a late first rounder, but with the Thunder, this would be 4 total first round picks. And then you're talking about them having an opportunity and yet another asset to maybe trade up. If they are, you know, going through their draft night draft board and, you know, such and such team is on the clock and they see somebody on their board they really like who's still there, the Thunder can call up whatever team's on the clock and say, hey, we'll throw this and this 27th pick at you in order to move up and get the guy that they really want. It gives the Thunder even more flexibility for the 2021 draft when they're going to be holding a lot of cards and a lot of possible avenues. It makes sense for the Thunder too.
Absolutely it does. And just having all those young guys, again, bringing in a veteran like DeAndre Jordan always helps your team, even if he's not playing. Just having him there will help the team, not on the court per se, but just, you know, behind the scenes kind of thing. You know, it's always good to have that kind of veteran. And they have tons of assets, like you said, Matt. And they're not a team nobody's looking at to make that run at the playoffs, you know, next year. They're still building. So this is a team who's building kind of move right here. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it honestly makes logical sense for all three teams to me.
So yeah, I mean, like a lot of times when you see these trade machine things come out, and ESPN is usually pretty good. Bleacher Report, I can't stand Bleacher Report's NBA trade columns. Really? They're like, hey, here's this great trade. Usually because it involves the Bulls trading away Zach LaVine for like a ham sandwich, and it's okay, like so disrespectful. Fair. But there were some interesting ones in here, and because the Bulls were mentioned, I wanted to talk about it because, you know, I am okay with the idea of bringing in Dinwiddie, and I thought that this three-team trade was one of the more logical ways to actually approach it where it would make sense for all teams involved. So we'll see. Now, we'll see what AK and Eversley have up their sleeve. As you always say, let them cook. Let's see what they do to address the point guard situation this summer. All right, before we get out of here, we do have to follow up on our Scottie Pippen talk from earlier in the week, because he was doing a Dan Patrick interview while we were recording and said some more crazy things that we have to address. Before we do that, though, shout out for our great sponsor in Built Bar. Did you know Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors plus the occasional limited time flavor? If you don't know all the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. Try them all. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, my personal favorite, double chocolate, and salted caramel. There's something for everyone. If you haven't tried all these flavors, you can get a mixed box for BuiltBar.com, and you'll get 2 of each bars to figure out which flavor is your favorite. Not only are these Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy for you too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. I love having one either for breakfast or lunch on busy days. Keep me going. Give me some energy and some good nutrients. Our Locked On Bulls listeners right now, if they go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, we'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Dave. So I also loved that you talked with Mark Schanowski about the Scottie stuff in your podcast with him. It seemed like Mark was very much in the camp of people saying, I don't know what Scottie's doing. It is just a burn it all down kind of media tour that he's doing right now. So earlier in the week, while he was really creating headlines, especially after that Dan Patrick interview, I put up a poll from our Locked Up Bulls account because I was curious how Bulls fans felt about this. So how are we feeling about Scottie's recent media tour tirades? The options were Scottie tripping or he makes some good points. Mm-hmm. 93% of the vote is Scottie tripping. I knew Scottie Trippin would win the poll and probably convincingly, but 93%.
That's huge.
So there are a couple elements that we didn't get to in our other talk about it, Big Dave, that I wanted to get your thoughts on. First and foremost, we were talking about the giving Tony the shot was a racial decision. It was a racial move. And then Dan Patrick saying, so are you calling Phil Jackson a racist? And Scottie saying, yeah, I have no problem with that.
I don't have a problem with that.
And you and I were sitting here saying, like, is there really a whole lot of evidence that Phil Jackson is a racist? As opposed to just a good coach who drew up a good play that worked.
That worked.
Some people on Twitter that I saw, and I had totally forgotten about this until I saw people talking about it on Twitter, referenced the thing from a few years back where Phil Jackson referred to LeBron James's inner circle as his posse.
The posse,
and that,
yes.
That was a racially charged and somewhat racist way to describe LeBron and his inner circle. As a black man at the time when all of that was making headline news, did you think that Phil Jackson using the word posse in that context was racist?
I don't know if I thought it was racist. I just thought it was poor wording, a poor way to word it. You know, I don't think I said, man, Phil, you racist. Like, that was just a racist thing to say. I don't think I said that. That doesn't even feel like something I said. But I definitely can hear myself saying, hey, man, what the hell are you talking about? No, don't say that. Like, like, I can definitely hear myself. No, man, don't say it's posse. Because when I read it, the first thing I said to myself, now that I'm remembering, is I want to hear how he said it. I kind of wanted to hear how he said it, because reading it and hearing how somebody said it kind of changes things. But I'm not mad at LeBron taking offense to that at all. Like, seriously, like, I'm not mad at that at all. Like, what do you mean my posse, dude? I am a media mogul.
Right.
I am arguably the greatest player to ever play, even though he's not.
My business partners.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are just my friends. I just got off the side of the street yesterday and said, hey, guys, you know you want to – You want to be an agent? You know what I'm saying? You want to run some movie studios with me? I know you don't have any experience doing it, but I like you because, you know, you made me a ham sandwich yesterday. So come on and do that. That's what that said to me when he's saying words like posse. Like, he didn't give any credence to maybe these guys, you know, are really intelligent and really smart and absolutely know what they're doing because, you know, I don't know, LeBron James has a school, you know, right. So it's stuff like that, you know. So I think I was offended in that sense, but I don't think racist came into my mind because just of Phil Jackson's past. Like, man, that's his past of what I've seen him, and obviously this is just basketball I'm talking, obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't know the man.
Right.
But just in those moves that I've seen him make, there was nothing in me that just made it say, man, you know, that's a racist dude. Like, I'm looking at Dennis Rodman, who loves him. I'm looking at Michael Jordan, who loves him. And, you know, I'm looking at all these – his background of when he went overseas to coach, you know, in a place that was kind of like the WWE.
Right. When he was coaching in the Puerto Rican League for a while.
That's crazy talk. Like, yeah, so I was like, those aren't, you know, moves I would know a racist person to do. But poor wording, saying something stupid and saying something dumb, yeah, I could definitely say that. But I don't think I thought it was racist. But I can hear people's point on that. I can hear people's point in connecting those dots. I promise you. I have no problem with people connecting those dots. I really don't. But right. I didn't think it was racist. No.
And, you know, and even if that is true, if what Phil Jackson said was certainly at least disrespectful, if not a little bit borderline on, was that racist?
Yeah.
To even ask the question, clearly it means that it was close to being racist. Or at least unintentionally racist, because super he was just offensive. Using the term that way, and therefore definitely disrespectful. And as you said, it's fair that LeBron took it as disrespectful.
Yeah, it's fair.
Still, to me, does not equate and correlate to Scottie's complaint of he gave Tony the shot. To me, that still does not equate to Phil Jackson's a racist. To me, it's still, as Dan Patrick pointed out, as several have pointed out, like, where in there is the racism? Yes, you are the team's best player, and you happen to be black. And this other guy, who is, yes, a rookie, and yes, white, European, gets the shot. Does that make it racist, or does that just make it a coach making a choice, which, again, was the correct choice?
It was the right choice, and I think that's the part I can't get over. It was the right call. It was the right thing to do. Like, you saw what he did all year. You watched it. You saw him do this. And, I mean, it was the right call. Like, it was like, yeah, you give it to Tony, and Tony hits the shot. Where have I seen that before? Oh, yeah, many times during the season. Right. Like, I've seen this. This isn't it's not new. You know what I mean? It's not new to do. And But, again, like I keep saying, I understand Pip being frustrated with not getting his number called. Because he was like, dude, can I get the shot one time? Like, can I get it? Like, I'm the man.
Right.
But if it's anybody I'm going to trust, it's the Zen Master. It's the dude who was orchestrating, you know what I'm saying, and putting his team together. So in my head, he kind of knew what everybody could really do and where they best fit, as evidenced by winning 6 titles and never losing. So that's kind of where I kind of put that to rest. I'm looking at it basketball-wise. I'm looking at that kind of evidence. And then you're thinking about, you know, his assistant coaches, these Hall of Famers that are on the bench with him. So you know that they're like in that also, you know what I mean? And wanting to make those calls too. So I can't say it, man. I can't, because it worked and it was a great shot. And it was a shot I had a poster of in my room, you know, hanging up for I don't know how long, man. But I can't call it race. I can't call that racist because he wouldn't give you the final shot in the game. Like, I can't. I just don't see it. Like, I don't see it at all. Like, I wish I could, Scotty. I just don't see it. I don't see it. And you got to show it to me, man. You really do.
And so the other thing that I wanted to get your take on, another piece of that Dan Patrick and Scotty interview, where Scotty said something and I just like stopped in the middle of whatever I was doing. And I was like, what, did he really just say what I thought he said, which was they were discussing the Bulls dynasty and late game situations, MJ taking the shot, whatever. And we come to the 97 finals, game 6, where MJ and Steve Kerr have that famous interaction during a timeout late in the game where MJ leans over to Steve and says, hey, if Stockton comes over and doubles me, and Steve follows him up immediately and says, yeah, I'll be ready. If he comes off, I'll be ready, which then led to Steve Kerr's famous game-winning, you know, jump shot from the free throw line, and the Bulls beat the Jazz and win their fifth title. That is a famous piece of NBA and Bulls history, and it was revisited in The Last Dance last year, yeah. And Bulls fans all know that story well. In this interview with Dan Patrick, Scottie Pippen claimed that that shot of MJ and Steve in the on the sideline, in the timeout, in the huddle, was staged by Michael and his camera crew that he had working for him at the United Center during the NBA Finals. And Scotty was talking about, this is 97, not the 97-98 season where the camera crew was, you know, granted like unlimited and super private access to the Bulls that made a lot of the behind the scenes stuff for The Last Dance. No, this is the season prior to that. And Scotty is still making the accusation that footage of MJ and Steve was staged for the benefit of MJ's legacy. Here I am going to set up the game winner for my teammate. What do you make of that, Dave? Because I heard Scotty say that, and I was like, what? But then I was like, I also wouldn't put it past MJ to do that.
You know, we talked about this with Mark Chynowski, too. And my boy Chris, who, you know, does the podcast with me, he said with that part right there, he's like, I don't know, maybe. You know, maybe he knew the cameras were there, and, you know, he played it up. But Mark Chynowski, I was like, dude, no. Like, this dude, like that guy, Michael Jeffrey, that dude, that insane human being, you know, listen, Wilbur Purdue said a story on our show when we were interviewing him on Ball and Bulls. And he said, this is what I'll tell you about Michael Jordan. He said, Michael Jordan wants to win so bad that if you told him that, hey, man, if you get behind this bus and your mother's laying in the middle of the road, and if you run over your mother, you'll win a championship. He said Mike would grab the keys, get in the car, get in the bus, run over his mother, put it in reverse, back over her, and then put it in drive and drive over her again. So you're telling me the dude that Will Purdue says would run over his own mother with a bus to win is taking time to set up a movie and a scene during the finals in a game-winning shot because he wants to look good? That dude? That kind of insane person, I'm sorry. I can't roll with that. I cannot roll with that, man. Sorry. That dude's too insane about winning care about looking that good.
I'm with you. I think in the last year or so, as we all watched The Last Dance, and certainly as we watched it, Bulls fans realized this is a documentary about the final 97-98 season. This is a piece to glorify MJ. For all of these young NBA fans on Twitter who don't know what the fuck they're talking about, and MJ saying, are y'all really forgetting me that quickly? Are y'all really putting all of these players on my level this quickly? Let me all remind you just how bad of a black cat I was, to use Reggie Miller's nickname for him.
Yes.
I think because there's been a lot of that talk of, yeah, MJ made this documentary to reprove to everyone that he's the GOAT, that some accusation like the one Scotty made to Dan Patrick of, oh, yeah, that was staged. That was for the camera's benefit. Everybody went, yeah, maybe. But then the other thing that you quickly forgot in that half a second of believing that Scotty accusation could be true is what you said, which is no. MJ was not only a win at all costs player, but he was a live in the moment player. I mean, when you're watching the celebration in the hotel room at the end of the 98 title at the like last episode of The Last Dance, and people are like, you know, bugging MJ while he's sitting around the piano and saying, you know, what happens next year? Yes, no, whatever. And MJ is telling people like, dude, enjoy this, live in the present tense, live in the moment. And you even get, yeah, you know, Eddie Vedder singing the song Present Tense to wrap up the doc. Live in the present tense. MJ was about winning in the present tense. That does not compute with, I'm thinking about a documentary 20 years from now. So I'm going to stage this scene with my teammate during a timeout because I know the cameras are watching. That definitely does not compute.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and real quick, I was reading in the comments what Joe said. He said, just because it was the right call doesn't make it racist. Seems unlikely Phil was racist. but certainly possible. He said, just because it's the right call doesn't make it not racist. Well, it doesn't make it racist either. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's both ways, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't see it. You can see it. I don't see him making the right call to Tony Kukoc's game. It's the wrong thing, racist move, you know? Unless there is a history of it. If you show me some history of it, you know what I mean? Then you can build on top of that. And I can say, oh, man, you know, maybe it was. It might have been that move. Phil's known to make those kind of moves. You know, in football, they used to do that with the running backs. They would get them the ball. They would run all over to the goal line, and then they would hand it to the white fullback or the white quarterback to score. That's, you can see it. You know, that's a history of it. But him just saying, no, Tony, you're good at this from game one? No. Sorry, I can't see it, man. I can't see it.
Hey, speaking of which, Big Dave, did you know that Shaq Harrison is a football player?
I'm ready to go in, Coach. Just give me a chance. I know there's a lot riding on it, but it's all psychological. Just got to stay in a positive frame of mind.
Oh, he had to get one in? Oh, man, he had to get one in, man. It's going to be a hard process to let this man go.
I couldn't resist, man. I couldn't resist. Oh man. Oh, goodness gracious. I saw our pal Mark K from Bulls HQ, you know, the king of Bulls fans in Australia, had a tweet earlier today. There was a screenshot of back in May of 2019, on the same day Monty Williams was announced as the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns, the same day that the Bulls announced that they extended Jim Boylan's contract. Where would we be right now? Where would we be if we just called up Monty Williams and said, hey, you want to come coach here? And told Jim, get in the van.
Get in the van, Jim. Get in the van. Yeah, we all wanted Monty. You know, our boy Bulldog really wanted Monty. Kevin Anderson, he truly wanted Monty Williams. Wasn't meant to be, but I'm very happy for Monty Williams getting to a finals, man. If it was anybody I was rooting for, it was definitely him. That man's been through a lot. And so, yeah, I just wish him all the joy and happiness. And this is part of that joy and happiness, getting to an NBA Finals. So, yeah, they're there. Right. Phoenix hasn't been there since 93, man, when the Bulls snapped their hearts in two. Yeah, I hope, you know, they go as far as they can take it. Let's see.
Speaking of joy and happiness, to just kind of circle back for a quick second and wrap up the Scotty talk, the other thing that I did want to touch on briefly is that Scotty does not appear to be a very joyful or happy person right now. You know, he's putting on a happy face to say, hey, buy my bourbon. Hey, let's talk shit. Like, you guys want to ask these questions? You want real fire answers from me? Here we go. There are some people who are talking about Scotty's personal life over the last, you know, year or so. And even more than a year, several years going back, he and his now ex-wife, Larsa Pippen, have gone through a lot of very public acrimony, trial separations, and now definitely separated, while she has been rumored to be having these relationships with all these current NBA players who are like 20 to 30 years younger than Scotty. So he can't be loving that. He can't be loving that unwanted attention. And then the truly tragic thing that I saw when he posted about a couple months ago but had already forgotten is that Scotty lost his firstborn son a couple of weeks ago who lived his life with chronic asthma, and he passed away back in April. And so you just kind of wonder, as Scotty is doing this media tour and he's sipping this bourbon, and you're like, with all of the chaos and tragedy that's gone on in his life recently, is this a guy who is not necessarily, like, you know, calling out cry for help, but just in a dark place right now and is saying, F it. Like, I was pissed off at my depiction in The Last Dance. I didn't think it was fair. I had MJ calling me, you know, a loser and weak and a poor sport and selfish and all these things. And everybody's talking about Scottie Pippen did this, Scottie Pippen didn't do that. And, like, when you compare it to what's been going on in his personal life, he might just be thinking at this point, like, to hell with it. When you're talking about MJ and Pip and the legacies and who deserves credit, to hell with it. To hell with all of you people. And that's maybe an element to this that some people aren't necessarily looking at.
That's well said, man. I mean, I can't add much to that. That's very well said. It might be something that nobody's looking at and seeing. Losing your firstborn, man. right in the middle of this book tour, in a book that I'm sure he's getting out a lot of things that he was probably holding inside for a very, very long time. So to do that and then to have that happen, you know, you never know how people grieve. You know what I mean? You never know how it comes out differently for a lot of people, you know, whether it can be in action or in words, you know, I don't know, man, but man, that's gotta be a tough thing to do. And yeah, the timing of it lends credence to everything that you're saying. Yeah, man, that's a tough go, man. And man, like you said, the family life wasn't great. You know, wife dating rappers and other, you know, and it's very public, you know.
Right, very public.
And then another thing about his son that I forgot about is his other son, Scottie Pippen Jr., is going in the NBA draft.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be in the league. So now he's going to have to, you know, deal with all of this stuff and these repercussions, you know, from these actions and things that's going in this book, you know, that's coming out right when he's about to go in. Man, but yeah, man, like, Scottie's dealing with a lot. A lot going on Pitt,
and maybe he just sees this media tour promoting his bourbon, promoting his book, and just you know, lighting a match and throwing it at a gas station to say, okay, y'all, you want to talk about Scottie Pippen? Let's go. And using that as a distraction from some of the things in his personal life right now that are aggravating or tragic or things that he just, you know, he would rather have his focus somewhere else. And so, hey, y'all want to talk to Scottie Pippen? Let's talk, because it'll get my mind off of other things in my life that aren't great right now.
Yeah, it's tough, man. And I mean, I don't wish that on nobody, and it's tough. But Scottie's going through it, and man, just hope he comes out on the other side of it better. You know, I hope there's some healing, you know, that comes from all of this. You know, I'm seriously, I really do hope that, for real.
Because what I don't want is for Bulls fans and NBA fans to take this media tour where Scottie's just kind of saying some crazy stuff and you know, pointing a lot of fingers, making accusations, to tarnish his legacy. And I'm worried that a lot of people will see it that way and say, to hell with Scottie Pippen, this dude's crazy. When, as Bulls fans, what we should remember first and foremost is that we do not have six championships without that dude.
Do not have it, and it ain't gonna have it without Scottie Pippen, period. That's it. Scottie Pippen is the man. He is revered. We ride for Scottie. This is why the reason we can talk about Scottie like this, because we ride for Scottie. We have nothing but unconditional love for Scottie Pippen. We met Scottie Pippen. Do you know me and Matt freaked out when we saw Scottie Pippen, man? He put his arm around me.
Picture. It's on man. My phone.
Come on, man. Dude, I felt like I was six when he put his arm around me, man. Yes, sir, Mr. Pippen, sir. I was like, dude, that's Scottie Pippen. That's Scottie Pippen, all right? We got nothing but love for Scottie Pippen, dog. For real.
Dude, we were the meat in a Scottie Horace sandwich in the photo.
Yes, man.
You can't beat that. You can't beat it. You and can't I both it. Have smiles on our faces that you cannot fake.
Oh my God. Ear to ear. Ear to ear grins, man. I was just like, dude, that's Scottie Pippen. Like, oh. I can't tell you, man. That was one of the highlights of life right there, man. With just Horace introducing me as good news to Scottie Pippen. Like, this good news right here, Scottie. That's good news right there. Oh, Scottie with that deep voice. Oh, yeah, that's good news right here. Like, oh! I love him, man. I love Scottie, man. And I'll ride for Scottie.
That's what we should end it on. All love to Scottie. Hey, man, if you wanna throw flames, throw flames. If you want a distraction, you need a distraction.
This is a distraction. This is a fire in a barrel. This is a distraction in a fire in a barrel. Any questions?
Enjoy this media tour and the circus. But most importantly, you know, all love to Scottie, and we hope he's okay. And thanks for the six chips.
Thank you,
that'll do it for this week. Everybody out there in Chicago and everywhere in Bulls Nation, have a safe and happy and wonderful 4th of July weekend. Some of our international listeners like, what's that? but Big Dave, enjoy the fireworks in your neighborhood.
I will probably not,
as we discussed. I don't want to be getting in trouble with Mama Peck.
Hey, Mama Peck.
But hey, you know, eat some apple pie, do some grilling, some barbecue, some red, white, blue popsicles, and enjoy the weekend. And we will be back We may or may not take the Monday off, the observed 4th of July. We'll see. We'll see how we feel. But either way, if not Monday, then Tuesday next week, we will be back with a fresh dose of episodes for y'all. Appreciate y'all for tuning in as always. Thanks to Bet Online and Built Bar and Michelob Ultra for sponsoring today's show. My partner, Big Dave Watson, Matt Peck saying, see red, be good. Have a great 4th of July, Bulls Nation. We out.
It's out. What up, Cannon?
Now let's try to have some fun. I'm going to go put on the thong song and we'll tear this place apart.